Welcome, Blue Jay fans, to another episode of Section 138, Episode 30. As always, we are joined by everything Blue Jays and Blue Jays Nation. There's been a lot going on with the Blue Jays since the last time we recorded about 2 weeks ago. They have continued to win, at least, or at least go 500. They've been 9-9 since Josh Donaldson was placed on the disabled list on April 13. So today we'll be talking about what the Blue Jays can do to keep the success going, whether we think that they are not firing on all cylinders, whether they can be better than this. Kevin Pillar commented on that recently, so we'll talk about his comments, whether we agree with them. We'll also talk about Marcus Stroman, his struggles as of late, and most recently his good start. We'll also quickly touch on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who renewed talks about him making it to the majors after a Jeff Passan article published about him legitimized the idea. And then we'll touch on Devin Travis, who was optioned to AAA Buffalo. Let's start with that now. Randall Grishik has been the topic of conversation, especially involving this, because a lot of fans have been wondering why the Blue Jays didn't send Grishik down, especially how considering how he's performing compared to Travis. And both are not doing very well, but Grishik was batting about 086 when he was put on the disabled list recently, and then Travis was batting about 180, somewhere around there, so about 100 points higher. Grishik does not have options, so if the Blue Jays were to get him off of the 25-man roster in any other way, they would have had to have him clear waivers to go to AAA, which means any team could claim him, and obviously the Blue Jays don't want that because they believe he is going to rebound from this, and they still want to have a backup plan to Teoscar Hernandez or whatever whenever someone gets injured. Devin Travis, on the other hand, does have options, which means he can stay on the 40-man roster and not have to clear waivers, so the Blue Jays can keep him within the organization and not have to worry about losing him. And it may do Travis good because he can DH every game, or at least one out of every three games, two of the games he's on the field, if they follow that schedule in AAA. So it definitely helps Travis to go down. And then Grishik, I mean, now that he's on the DL, the Blue Jays have both problems solved. So that's why the Blue Jays didn't send down Grishik. And I guess part of it was probably because of they may have known about his injury in advance. So without out of the way, I guess, what are your guys' thoughts on the Devin Travis move? I think all of us probably agree with it, that it was a smart baseball decision, even if it wasn't the most ideal of situations. It certainly fixed some of the problems that the Blue Jays were having and helped them get past some of the problems they were having. Do you guys think there was an alternative that they could have done instead of optioning Travis? Could they have optioned someone else, or released someone maybe, or designated someone for assignment?
I personally do agree with the move. You know, Devin Travis, this season, you mentioned it, how slow of a start he's had, and he's currently, his average with his first 18 games in the majors this season was just 148. So that's an OPS of 458, and he also has a WAR of -7. So he's been off to a terrible start. We mentioned it before that, you know, we were kind of thinking that maybe he'd up in the month of May, just like he did last year. But this season, his start has been worse as last year. So another reason why this happened was obviously because of the bullpen and how much it's been used this season, with the starters not relatively pitching as deep as people imagine. So, you know, the bullpen's been overused, and he was sent down for Carlos Ramirez, who replaced him on the roster. And it was, I do believe, again, it was the right move. You know, give Travis some time. He can start figuring it out in Buffalo, you know, take some pressure off of him. He started the season as the leadoff guy as well. So He's played in two games already for Buffalo. He has gone a combined 1-for-9 in 9 at-bats. So he's obviously a really small sample size, but yeah, he's batting 111, but he's only had 9 at-bats. So give him time to get the feel, get his timing back. So Travis, he's going to go down to AAA and get himself right as well. John Gibbons said that his stint in Buffalo will not be as long, so he's got to be down there for at least 10 days unless he's replacing an injured player. And that probably gives the bullpen a little bit of time to, get more rest. Carlos Ramirez will be up here, and as well as Tim Mays has been recalled as the 26th man for the doubleheader on May 3rd, on which we are recording. So they have two extra relievers right now in the bullpen. And the only other thing I could have seen happen, if it wasn't Travis that went down, could have been Aledmys Diaz, who is also off to a slow start, and we have seen a little bit of him as he struggled a little bit as well. So that would probably be the only other option, I would think. But, you know, if I had to choose between the two, I would choose Travis, just because we know how much more capable he is as a player rather than Diaz. He has a way higher ceiling. We've seen Travis when he's been playing really well and as well as really bad. So maybe some time in the minors will do good for him. Like I said, relieve some pressure off of him, and, you know, expect to see him back here soon. But it'll be very interesting on the moves made, because Gurriel's up. So Lourdes Gurriel's up here. People seem to be pretty happy with him, as well as the Jays. And yeah, they have a crowded infield, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens when he is back, as well as Josh Donaldson, who is back.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you guys said. This move was definitely necessary for Travis. I mean, he's off to a horrible start to the season. Just touching on what you just said, everything Blue Jays about, you know, maybe sending Aledmys Diaz down instead of Travis, since they're both off to slow starts. The only reason I don't think they would have done that is simply because Travis is a much younger player. I think when it comes to veterans, you got to give them more time. You know, they know what they need to improve on. And Travis, as a younger player, could use all the extra, you know, experience. No, this will definitely teach him. You know, you don't play well.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. He's got way much of a higher ceiling than Diaz, just like we've seen what he's capable of rather than Diaz. But yeah, I was just, if I had to say another name, it would be Diaz, but I definitely do not think that would have been the right move. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Then just touching on what you just said, Mark, I think it was interesting that you called this a good baseball decision. For one main reason, and, you know, you guys will probably disagree with this, not sure, but the Blue Jays, you know, whether it's April, whether it's September, you know, every game matters for them right now. You know, they are off to a significantly better start than last year. They are actually in a playoff race, and yes, again, it is April. The entire season could change till the end of the season. But, you know, every game counts. We saw in 2016, the Blue Jays didn't make the playoffs or didn't qualify for the playoffs until about the fifth inning of their last game, which goes to show you that, you know, anything can happen and every game counts. And if somebody like Travis is not giving you a chance to win, you know, even in April, and when was he sent down a few days ago? I'm not sure if it was May yet. I don't think so. But, you know, even in April, you got to do everything you can to win, because you never know when a game where he potentially goes 0-for-4 with the bases loaded twice, you know, and the Blue Jays end up losing. You never know if a game like that could end up haunting them if they end up missing the playoffs by a game or two or something like that. And yeah, you know, I just think Travis, hopefully he can figure this out. I mean, it should only be 10 days that he spends down in the minors. And I mean, we saw what he did last year in May, where he hit, I believe, 357 after going or hitting definitely below 150 last April.
Bring in the exact stats. In 2017, he hit 130, in April, and then 364 in May. And then compared to 2016, too, in May, which was his first season, he did only play in six games, but he hit 208 in May, and then in 25 games in June, he hit 302. So he has shown the tendency to be a slow starter.
Yeah, and I think this year is just a little bit of a magnification of that. You know, everything was just wrong for him. I mean, even worse than it was, or not worse, you know, it's a bad start in essence. And I think this will help him. I mean, hopefully, as we've seen throughout his career, he ends up producing very well. I mean, at this point, like you guys mentioned earlier, the outfield is very crowded, with Gurriel, Diaz, Solarte, Donaldson coming back now. You know, there's really nowhere for anybody that's struggling to play. And if Travis is not playing well, I think it makes sense to have Gurriel or anybody else in that position. Because it's like I just said, Donaldson coming back, Solarte is going to need somewhere to play. I mean, he has cooled down a little bit over the last week or two, but, you know, Blue Jays aren't just going to kick him out of the lineup now that Donaldson's back. So you got to think, you know, if Travis is not on his A game, he's not going to play. And that's why this move, give him 10 days, figure out what he needs to figure out, and then come back stronger.
I think the most questionable part of this, this entire thing, is probably just why the Blue Jays have Lourdes Gurriel Jr. at the major league level instead of Travis, because Travis has done so well in the majors, and as we've just discussed, he has a history of not doing well in the first month of the season. So I think that's probably the weirdest part of this, and why they didn't just keep him up there and trust him. But at the same time, it does make sense. They wanted to jumpstart their offense somehow, and they certainly couldn't do it with Randall Grishuk, because there was no options for him, literally and figuratively no options for Grishuk. And then you don't want to take someone out of your bullpen because you don't have starters going deep into games. And as we record this, we're watching the Blue Jay game. The Blue Jays are down 6-5 after being up 5-0 because Jaime Garcia just gave up a 3-run home run. So starters are not going deep into games. You don't want to send down a reliever because that just weakens an already not very good bullpen. You can't send down anyone in the outfield except for Teoscar Hernandez, but he's hitting the cover off of the ball, so you don't want to do that. And then in the infield, you really have that debate between Travis or Gurriel. That's really the only options you have. You don't have anyone in the starting rotation you can get rid of, so really it comes down to Gurriel or Travis. And with the way Travis was hitting, Gurriel is obviously favored with the way he is hitting. So the Blue Jays, as I think it was Ross Atkins said on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, he was on during a game at one point, I can't remember when, but he said the Blue Jays had no other options. They exhausted all they could to keep Travis at the major league level, but they just couldn't. There was no other way to jumpstart someone in the offense except for optioning Travis. So it makes sense from that perspective.
Yeah, as well as you said, Gurriel or Travis, you know, Gurriel getting off to a good start since he's been promoted to the major league club from AA definitely has a big impact as well. And one thing he does have over Travis is his defensive play. He's a great defensive player. He's arguably the future second baseman for the Jays when, you know, Bichette and Guerrero are going to be up here. But yeah, since Travis went back down, he's been this everyday second baseman. So I'm sure when maybe Travis comes back, or I don't know what they're going to do with him, how they're going to fit him in. And, you know, I'm sure Solarte will also go back to a platoon role. But, you know, the infield's very crowded, but Gurriel playing a lot better over Travis has, like, it pretty much is the deciding factor, as well as his defense. And going back to Travis earlier, I believe I mentioned he had a -7 WAR, which is completely ludicrous. I'm just correcting that. It was a negative 0.7 WAR, so I just wanted to correct that.
As we've seen before this season, the Blue Jays are playing the hot hand, and they're willing to do that, so it doesn't surprise me that they're going with Gurriel over someone like Travis, who really has not been any good this season. So, everything Blue Jays, you just mentioned Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. So I think quickly we'll bring up what I mentioned earlier. Jeff Passan, again, he published that article about the, I guess, the logistics of bringing up Guerrero and how it could make sense. And he kind of advocated for that, partially from a fan standpoint, but also partially from a money-making standpoint for the Blue Jays and for an on-field performance standpoint of the Blue Jays. So I know we could talk about this for hours on end, but very, very quickly, has your mind changed about calling up Guerrero this year? We talked a few episodes back that all of us were in agreement that the Blue Jays should not call up Guerrero this season. They should wait until next year, give him some more time to develop. Has any of your minds changed?
Absolutely, it has. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, they are both tearing it up right now in New Hampshire. They are hitting the ball well. And as I'm pulling up Guerrero's stats, I'm just going to say that, you know, if you really think about it, if these two are promoted to AAA by the All-Star break, I am leaving the door open for a September call-up for either one or the other, or possibly both. I see, if I had to say, I'd probably have, you know, that's a really tough decision to see where the Blue Jays will be in September, but one or both of them, at least one, I believe, will be called up by September if they are promoted to AAA by the All-Star break. These guys are completely tearing it up right now. I still haven't loaded his stats, but all I know is he is crushing it. He's pretty much on the story of every single Fisher Cats win or loss. They're always seem to be on the box score somehow, producing somehow, and I've been fairly impressed. You know, I myself was predicting maybe a little bit of a dip in their numbers just because they're making a significant jump from single A, but that hasn't been the case. You know, they've been playing extremely well. And they are both, yeah, they're both tearing it up. I'm sure they've become fan favorites down there in New Hampshire. Mark, you can confirm because you've covered a few Fisher Cats games this year. But, you know, the excitement around these two guys is crazy. And I don't know if anyone really predicted that they'd be up by September. We all predicted that maybe the best for them would be next season, maybe, or maybe like midway through 2019. But, you know, they're completely tearing it up. And if on their pace, they're going to be in AAA by the All-Star break, which is going to be great. And if that all goes well, I would not be surprised if one or both of them are on the Blue Jays by September to maybe possibly help for a playoff push.
I honestly completely disagree with what you just said, everything Blue Jays. The only way I see any one of those two players making it to the big leagues this year is if the Blue Jays are out of it in September. As a September call-up. Right now, we've seen Josh Donaldson come back from the DL. He was just activated today. And there's no way Guerrero's going to take Donaldson's role, even for a game or two, a week.
Just because they're called up, it doesn't mean they're taking their role. I want to make that very, very clear.
That's a better way to put it. I don't mean it's taking his role. I mean, what I meant is there's no way he's going to play much or at all if he were to be called up, especially considering that this is Donaldson's walk year, or contract year, I should say. There's no way. I don't think he wouldn't like to see Guerrero. I just think Donaldson would want to play, especially considering his contract status. You know, he wants to play as much as he can, especially after missing a bit of time with injury. And yeah, again, you know, I'm not saying there's no room for them, but you kind of got to do what makes sense. Now, you mentioned Bichette earlier. Him, I wouldn't mind seeing up. Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing both of them up or either of them, but especially considering the fact that Tulo is injured and likely won't be playing for more than 80 games this year or 82 games. You know, we have solid options in Solarte, Diaz, Travis, etc. But I think if any of the two has a chance to make it up this year, I think it would probably be Bichette. Just because of the fact that, you know, we don't have a star shortstop that, you know, would be mad if we have another guy kind of stealing the show. You know, again, Gurriel, I think, could potentially. I'm not saying he wouldn't or can't, but I think that it wouldn't make sense to call him up unless you're out of it in September when, you know, you have the extra roster space. You know, like you mentioned earlier, using him to help you with a playoff push, I'm not sure how well that would work for him. Just kind of sidetracking a little bit to hockey, which I know you guys don't like doing too much, but Andre Vasilevskiy of the Tampa Bay Lightning, he was kind of put into a similar situation that you were mentioning. He was kind of just thrown into the Tampa Bay net when they were in the playoffs, in playoff pushes, and that kind of turned him from a good goalie or a good prospect to one of the elite goalies in the league. Only thing is, baseball's a little different. You know, that could work for Gurriel, that might not. You know, you never really know.
Yeah, I just want to respond to your comments. You know, you said that you would like to see Bichette up. And, you know, by the way you were saying it, you didn't really sound like you wanted too much of Guerrero. You're kind of worried that he would take Donaldson's spot. Well, adding before, just because they are one of them or both of them are up, it does not mean they are taking other people's roles. Ever since Ronald Acuna of the Atlanta Braves was promoted to the big league squad a week ago, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is now the best prospect in baseball. So why wouldn't you want him on your team if all goes well, if to the All-Star break from now, and then after the All-Star break, if they're in AAA. And I finally pulled up Guerrero's stats. He is batting .388 with an OPS of 1,055. And I don't know how you consider that not being call-up worthy on his pace. And I know I'm overreacting a little bit, but and being a really optimistic, but I'm very excited by both of these guys. And I was expecting, again, a little bit of a dip in their numbers from going from single A, but they're going to be in AAA by the All-Star break. And if these two continue to play well, it's not surprising at all that one of them are up on this team. Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star was on a radio show yesterday on TSN 1050, and he said that he is expecting Troy Tulowitzki to be back by September, which I found very interesting. He's on, you know, I was expecting more of a late May, early June, and he said that that's considered a long shot. So I don't know how slow his rehab's going. I'd like to get your thoughts on this, but you know, it is very possible, if this is true, that September comes and he's kind of somewhat ready, but it's very possible that the Blue Jays just shut him down for the rest of the season. And if that happens, there is an opening for Bo Bichette as well on the team. And he, again, I would love to see one of them up, or I should say both of them, but I would personally prefer Guerrero up. But, you know, again, they both got high ceilings. They're both the future of this team. But, you know, if these two are destroying it right now in the minor leagues and they're going to be at AAA by the All-Star break, how do you not want to have these guys on your big league team in September? And going back to what you said, that you would like them, you want them on the team even if the Jays were out of it. And I completely agree with that. I would like the same. But I'm just saying as well, if this team is in a playoff race, it is very well possible these two could help with the playoff push. But if the Blue Jays are out of it, it still doesn't change my mind. We'd like to see them both play. And you know, you mentioned, you referenced to hockey. And before I don't even, to no offense to you, but I pretty much zoned out when you said that comparison. Just in all due respect to you, I just do not like comparing the sport of hockey to the sport of baseball or any sport, period. They are both different sports. They're both in different roles. There is no goalie in baseball. There is no third baseman in hockey. So it's completely different as a comparison. So I personally think it's a bad comparison. And, you know, these two, again, how do you not want these guys, or how do you not want them around of their numbers in double A? But I'd like to hear Mark's opinion on this and to see, you know, who he'd rather, or what approach he'd rather have of having them up, or if his opinion's changed.
Just quickly before he says that, I don't, like I said, or like you said, you don't see why they wouldn't be call-up worthy. I'm not saying they aren't. My only fear is that if they are to be called up before September,
it won't be before September. Yeah, I don't think so.
I just don't think they would play much if they were. I mean, they'll still play. They'll still get at bats. You know, time on the field. I just don't think it would be as much as people would expect, and then everyone would get mad saying you call up our top prospects, and then they sit on the bench. And I kind of don't want that to happen. You know.
But what if they tear it up?
No, I'm not saying they wouldn't. I'm just saying, you know, my fear is that they would get called up and then kind of nothing would happen, or not much would happen out of it.
That's if they struggle, yeah. Or they, you know, they don't really live up to the expectations. But
I do want to, I guess, stick my head in here and get my two cents in. My mind has changed. I do think that they could and possibly should be up this season. I don't think it'll be until September or at the earliest, late August. I do want to separate the two, because, you know, this entire time we've been talking about Vlad and Bo as kind of a joined, I guess, Siamese twins. I don't know, like the same person or a package deal, but it seems like, I mean, analysts, maybe the Blue Jays, I don't know, are leaning away from this, not bringing up both at the same time. Of course, they are different people, and they are performing differently. Guerrero has always been the top prospect in the bunch. He is the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball, and he is hitting 388 compared to Bo Bichette, who's hitting 299. So it is a little bit of a difference there. So I want to start my argument by differentiating the two. And with that being said, I think Guerrero will be up this season by the end of the season. I don't think the same is true for Bichette. I think he may move up to AAA with Guerrero, but at that point, I think they may start to bring them apart a bit and I guess set their courses of development differently at that point.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. You know, having, yeah, like, in my opinion, Guerrero is the guy to be called up, but Blue Jays Nation thinks Bichette. But, you know, the only possibility for one of these two or both of them is if they're split apart. You know, that has to happen, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I think also touching on that playing time discussion that we had, as a September call-up, one or both of them, they wouldn't be taking away time from a major leaguer. Maybe if Bichette was called up and Tulowitzki is shut down for the season and you have Lourdes Gurriel playing at shortstop for the entirety of the season, maybe they split time there half and half. Maybe they share it in that sense. But I don't think if you have a proven major league veteran like Donaldson at third base, Guerrero is not going to be taking away much playing time from him. He's just going to be coming in late in games to give Donaldson rest. He's going to be starting a few games here and there to help him get more rest. Or Guerrero, there's even been talk previously about him moving to first base or one of the corner outfield positions because of doubts about
DH.
DH, that too. Doubts about his defensive capabilities. And they're not bad, but they're not like his hitting capabilities. So certainly, I think there all are alternatives. You can move Guerrero around the diamond. Not so true for Bichette, I think, but you could have Bichette at shortstop, Gurriel at second base where Gurriel played in double A. You can DH either one of them. It's hard to imagine a situation where playing time is taken away from proven major league players for these two players, unless they do rip it up and unless they do I just don't see a situation this season in which they can do that. Next season, yes. I think the Blue Jays, if those two players prove themselves in September, the Blue Jays could be looking into moving a player in the offseason. But it's not going to happen this season. I do want to touch, before we finish this discussion, you mentioned me being at some Fisher Cats games. I do live in New Hampshire and close to Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, where the Fisher Cats do play. I've been to a pair of games so far this season, one as press and one as just a fan. The first game I went to was press, and Max Pentecost was kind of the star of the game. It was a bit weird because I went there expecting to write this story about Guerrero and Bichette, and it didn't work out because Max Pentecost hit a home run. He didn't outperform Guerrero and Bichette dramatically, but he kind of surprised me in what he was doing, especially since his setbacks from injuries last season and a few seasons ago. But still, they did really well that game. They did really well in the game that I went to later, and I guess they, like, you expect them to do so well that when they go for like 1-for-3 in a night, it's kind of shocking. But their batting averages are 1-for-3, and that it's good to have a batting average at 333. So they kind of flow under the radar because you think they're so good, but they are so good. It's a weird situation, but it was a lot of fun to see them, and people are certainly excited about them in New Hampshire and also in Toronto, as we know. So, moving on, I wanted to touch on that topic quickly, but it ended up being like 20 minutes. Anyways, I guess we'll cut out the Marcus Stroman topic for today because he did well on his last start, and although he still does have a 7.52 ERA, he has lowered it, and hopefully he can continue this into May. And we saw last season he had some injury problems, an inflamed, I want to say, knee in May or April, but he rebounded from that and turned out to be amazing. So I think he'll end up being great. So our final topic for today, Kevin Pillar. Well, not Kevin Pillar, but Kevin Pillar made comments to Rob Longley of the Toronto Star. He said that the Blue Jays are not quite clicking it yet, but they're still winning games. And he said something to the tune of, imagine what we can do if everything's clicking, if everything's firing on all cylinders. I thought that was interesting because obviously the Blue Jays had flaws in a few games, in the game in which Kevin Pillar made those comments afterwards. The Blue Jays were down 4-0, and then they kind of capitalized off of a few defensive errors and ended up winning the game against the Minnesota Twins. And obviously that was a game where not everything clicked, but I thought it was surprising because we have seen things where a lot of everything has clicked for the Blue Jays in games so far this season. So I was a bit taken aback by those comments. Did you guys expect those? I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you think those comments were normal, called for? I don't know.
I don't think those comments were uncalled for at all, to be completely honest. There have been some flaws this season. I mean, as we just mentioned earlier, Devin Travis, Randall Grichuk have definitely not been clicking on any cylinders, really. Certain players have started to struggle as the season has progressed. The starting rotation has definitely not been, or at least has not been pitching as deep as into games as we thought they would. And the offense at times has gone just ice cold, you know. So we've seen all those things, like I just mentioned, we've seen those on the flip side, you know, where starters are dominant, offense is pounding the ball, everybody's just playing well, and then we've kind of seen them not do that, which I get Pillar's comments for kind of bringing all that up. It kind of completely ties together the season so far. You know, it's good, but imagine if it was better. And it's interesting because if this team is 17, let me just make sure I got this right. They 17, 13, yeah. If you are 17 and 13 and you're still not hitting on all cylinders, imagine what your record would be if you were. You know, I think once Grichuk heats up, pitchers start to pitch deeper, offense is consistent, this team is definitely a playoff team. That's pretty much it. I mean, it's just, this team is good. It has been good, but just imagine how much better they can be if they do end up hitting on all cylinders, which I eventually think they will do.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing. They were already off to a better start than last season after the first four games against the Yankees. And as the MLB Instagram account said it best, as they actually took the time to post something about the Jays and not New York Yankees highlights, they actually said, quote unquote, which is 100% true and should be accounted for throughout the league, do not sleep on the Jays. The Jays are 17 and 13, like you mentioned. They are only, as much as this is early, they are in contention. They are 5 games back of the division, even if the Jays had a good season, people were eyeing more of a wild card, in which they are 1 game back. Like you said, obviously, they haven't been clicking. Going to the rotation, you know, Jay Happ's been, he had somewhat of a, you know, decent mediocre start, but he's been lights out his past few starts. Aaron Sanchez as well has been a little up and down, but he's seemed to getting in his group. The only Marco Estrada, though, has been off to a disappointing start. And again, Jaime Garcia's had a few starts now where he hasn't been as good. He's allowed 3 runs in his first few starts, but now the past 2 starts, he's been allowing more than that. And as well as Marcus Stroman, who has the tools to get going and to be a solid major league pitcher who will eventually figure things out. And hopefully we saw a taste of that from yesterday. And, you know, again, with the bullpen has been very good. And one person who hasn't really received much credit for maybe this early season's success, in my opinion, is John Gibbons. John Gibbons has done a tremendous job, I think. And with the injuries that, you know, Tulowitzki and even Donaldson was on at some point, the bullpen's been overused. He's been managing to, you know, get other people in there. And people are taking pretty good advantage of their opportunities. The hitting has been relatively good. There's been some games where it's kind of gone lost. But the one thing I do give credit for is it's kind of showed up the next game. You know, on May 2nd, they got shut out by the Twins 4-0. And the day later, they have scored 5 runs, even though they have scored 5 runs to the point in the 5th inning. So the one thing I do give credit is the offense has been somewhat good. And it hasn't been in a cold streak. And Josh Donaldson is back. That provides the lineup a lot better. But the point is here, when this team does start clicking, and it's very well possible it does, or it could go south. Hopefully that does not go south. But if it does, this team, I believe, is a wild card team, and they are a playoff team. We all know the division's completely out of reach. The Yankees are starting to heat up, while the Red Sox have looked good since the first game. But this team has a legitimate shot at being a wild card team, and when they do start clicking, they are going to be a lot better than 17 and 13, because 17 and 13 is a pretty good start for a team that hasn't been all there so far. But they are finding a way to win ball games, which I give credit to.
Yeah, I guess what I'm confused about with the not clicking comments is the fact that, like, the Blue Jays have been doing really well for the situation that they're in, you know, not having Donaldson for a bit, not having Travis perform the way we thought, not having Grichuk bat pretty much at all. But I guess that does kind of translate into not clicking totally. But I think if these few players, even like Stroman, if we see, so Stroman, Estrada, Travis, Grichuk, if all of them even go back to like career norms, or even slightly worse than career norms, it will be a big rebound for the Blue Jays, and hopefully they can win at a greater pace and pick up that slack. Right now, they're about half game out of the wild card spot, I think. So even just, you know, an ERA of 3.5 from Marcus Stroman, or a batting average of 250 from Devin Travis, even that much could help them get those few extra wins and get into the wild card spot. Well, that seems like it's it for our conversation today. Thank you, everyone, who joined us. Again, I was joined by Everything Blue Jays and Blue Jays Nation. I'm Mark Culley from Bluebird Banter and 360 Blue Jays News. As always, you can catch our podcast on iTunes, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play, and always on my website, 360bluejaysnews.com.